The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Today I'm not teaching for long, but that's not the intention, except it happens. You know, I saw something that has been trending. And many of you are under arrest. You know, somebody said, my pastor says, is it, how do you put it? We're about to round up. People are not serious. But I'm not like that. I'm serious, I'm not like that. God has changed me. How was Friday night? such a short teaching. Hallelujah. God is so faithful. Amen. Glory to God for long teachings. They made us. You know, there was a day, first day I saw a man teach for 5 straight hours. I don't know about you, but it was mad. I converted it. I told God, see, I was very young. That was 2007. We sat down that night. The guy climbed stage around 11. He was talking till 4. I said, now, wow. Now, what I told God, I said, Father, I want them to teach like this. Hallelujah. I told God, I want them to teach like this. I didn't even get angry. I was that. Hallelujah. So be happy. Praise be the God of long teachings. Amen. Romans chapter 6, verse 16. Hallelujah. But this morning will not be long. Because you know what happens when this is a Holy Ghost meeting, right? You notice we skipped the word part. We didn't take our word as usual. Because we're going to do all of that at the end of the message. Romans 6 verse 16. Very quickly. Know ye not. Now I like you to study this verse closely. These verses, 4 verses from this place. Very closely so that you wouldn't mix up things. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. So there are two masters here. What are the masters? Sin unto death. What's the second master? Now he's saying anybody you yield yourself to obey, he said you are a servant to that. Now a lot of preachers have pounced on this verse to tell some believers that if you are sinning, you are a servant to sin. We're going to see what this verse is talking about. Amen. But God be thanked that what happened? You were the servants of sins. Of sin, yes. But what has happened to us now? You have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Look at this verse. What was our obedience? We obeyed doctrine. So, doctrine there is teaching. So, we heard the teaching. We accepted the teaching, and that's obedience. Is that correct? So, what teaching, of course, what teaching is this? This is the gospel, right? So we heard it. So anybody that hears the gospel and obeys it, or, you know what it means to obey the gospel now? To believe it, right? Anybody that hears the gospel and believes it, the Bible says, he said, he's not my servant of sin. I finish now. See, we are servants of sin, but something has happened to us when we heard the gospel, and so obedience is talking about in this verse, will not be about, the Bible said, come early and you come late, but the Bible said, don't steal and stole. It's talking about hearing the gospel and obeying or believing it. Now look at verse 18, to drive this further. Being then made free from what? What are we now? So you notice this verse is not talking about what we should be, it's describing who we are. Do you see that? The flow is from said you were servants of sin, but you obeyed the doctrine that was given to you. Being then, because you obeyed that doctrine, being then made free from sin. What are we now? We are servants of righteousness. That's very clear, isn't it? Sam is servant of righteousness. Once again, say, I am a servant of righteousness. So being made free, we have servants. Now verse 19 now says, I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh. When he says after the manner of men, he was using the word servant, slave, master. Because that's, you're talking about slavery and whatever. That's what they understand. You know now, this is Romans. But look at this. He said, this is what I'm driving to. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now, yield your members, servants to what? Uncleanness. And look at this. What did he say we should do in this verse? Our members to what? To righteousness. What did he say in verse 18? Go back to verse 18. What did he say in verse 18? What did he say in verse 19? I want to see this. In verse 18, he said we are what? Servants. In verse 19, what did he now say? Yield as servants. So, what's happening? You find out that it is one thing to be a servant of righteousness. All believers are. We are all, whether it doesn't matter, once you're a believer, once you obey from the heart, that form of doctrine that was delivered unto you, what are you now? A servant of righteousness. But then verse 19 is now saying, you've become a servant of righteousness, there's something else you need to do. What do you need to do now? Yield your what? Look at what you yield now. Your members. It's not church member. That word member is the Greek word melos. Or meles, I think so. Is it? Well, it means parts of your body. So he said in verse 18, it's not nailos. I know there are two nailos in this church. I'm not talking about them. Amen. So in verse 18, he says, we are servants. Verse 19 is now saying, you as a person, you are a servant of righteousness. But then you need to yield your members. This is part of your body. What are the parts of your body? Your hands, your legs, your mouth, your tongue. Yield your members as servants. This tells you that actually you can be a servant of righteousness and yet yield your members to walk in iniquity. You know what I'm saying? You can be a servant of righteousness. Of course, all believers are. But you can yield your members to rot iniquity. So that's why I'm saying, initially, we build our members to serve as servants of members, servants of cleanliness. He's now saying that because in verse 18 we have become servants of righteousness, we should begin to yield our members now to become servants of righteousness. And so this morning I'll be teaching you how to yield. And so I'll be specific this morning. I'll be talking about yielding to the Spirit. But this tells you something, that even though I'll still address this, that you are full of the Spirit, it is still your work to yield your members to flow in the Spirit. You get the point? It tells you, you can still be full of the Spirit, you can still be a servant of righteousness, and yet refuse to yield your members to flow in the Spirit. You can yield your members to walk in iniquity. There are believers today who use their hands to steal. We are not as servants of righteousness, and yet they yield their hands to become servants of sin. I got what I'm saying? You can yield this your tongue to become a lying tongue. You have believers like that. When they tell you good morning, check your time, it's afternoon. They have so lied. What's happening? They've yielded this their tongue as part of their members to become a servant of sin. Even though in reality, according to verse 18, what are they? Servants of righteousness. I know what I'm talking about. So first of all, Paul described the nature and now describe the expectant results. You get the point? The results you're expecting from that nature. He said that your nature is that you're a servant of righteousness. Now, what you now have to do is to begin to yield your members. I explained this very much last Sunday. So, the wrong thing to preach, as I said last Sunday, is to tell a believer, yield your members as servants of righteousness, that you may become a servant of righteousness. That's the wrong thing to preach. What did Paul preach here? You are a servant of righteousness. Therefore, yield your members. This is the point now. I don't think. Because this is what we're talking about, flowing with the Spirit. You don't walk up to a believer and say, begin to pray in tongues that you will be filled with the Holy Ghost. No. The believer is full of the Holy Ghost. We carry the Holy Ghost. Yielding our members to pray in tongues. Yielding my tongue to pray in tongues. Yielding my hands to lay to be able to heal the sick and what have you. You see, will be because of who I am already. I see, yeah? It wouldn't be. So the way I put it in my notes, I say, you will find out. Okay, well, I'm running ahead of myself. Let me leave that. So I said, though we are not servants of sin, but righteousness, it's still our duty to yield our members, our body, to righteousness. You see, that same way, you can yield your members to the flow of the Spirit. You see, you can yield your tongue to prophecy. You can yield your tongue to tongues. You can also yield that your tongue to what? Quarrelings. Hallelujah. Some people, the tongue they should be using to prophesy, they're using it to quarrel. You can yield your tongue to quarrels. You can yield your tongue to lie. You can yield your tongue to curses. You fool, idiot. That same way, you can also yield this your tongue to balekabashataya. It's still your tongue. You are the yielder. And so you notice what your body does would be what you yielded it to. I got a thing. What your body does per time, what your tongue does per time, what your hand does per time, you can yield your hands to become an instrument of stealing. And I was telling you on Friday, you can sin with your buttocks. Remember I said that? Bible says, do not sit in the seat of discomfort. So there are places you sit, you are yielding your buttocks to be an instrument of sin. And now when you sit down in church listening to the word, you are yielding your buttocks to be an instrument of what? Righteousness, my brother. My point is, every part of your body, and that is even about your mind, you can yield your mind to rot in iniquity. Many of them, many people, their mind has been, you know, everything. In fact, I used to ask people, so imagine one day God just decides to show us drama and decides to expose everybody's heart on the screen like this. How will it be? All sometime. You see, some people, their minds have become instruments of envy, instruments of jealousy, instruments of evil thoughts. Hallelujah. Even while we are in church, some people are watching Game of Thrones in their mind. How many of you watch movies in your mind? Movies you've bought before, you start watching them again in your mind. Even when we were younger, I used to act movies in my mind. Act and boast. And funny enough, some still do it now. Why are you like this? Amen. So you find out, you can yield your mind to become a place full of envy. You can still yield this your mind to become an instrument of righteousness. The Bible tells us, renew your mind. Be transformed by what? Renew your mind. So if you fill your mind with the word of God, you see the way James puts it. He said, see this same tongue that can bless, this same tongue can curse and set fire. It depends on what you yield your tongue. I get what I'm thinking about. Whatever you see, so in other words, even though this is your nature, you can decide to yield against your nature and begin to act against your nature, even though that's not you. I don't think about that at all. Even though that's not you, begin to act against it. And that's what we must do as believers. So I'll be talking this morning briefly on how you must yield to the Spirit. Because the flow of the Spirit is about yielding. Because I was explaining to you, you find out that every believer is full of the Spirit. I said every believer. The difference between you, one believer that works miracles, and the other that does not work miracles, is that one yields to that Spirit, the other does not. Are you going to think about? Are you going to what I'm saying? Every believer should pray in tongues, can pray in tongues, has the capacity, the ability to pray in tongues. Some pray, some don't pray, some yield, others don't. I see this now. I'll still show you this. Which is why, because I'm going to teach you how to yield. You can be something and refuse to yield to that thing. And you'll be acting like who you are not. And so one of the things you must learn is to yield. I learned this very early as a believer. And I'm going to share about three or four stuff with you this morning. Because if you learn how to yield to the Spirit, you find out every ability of God, because I've seen people shout out the ability of God is living inside of me. And yet none of them is manifest. You get the point? I have the power to heal the sick. Yet your brother is sick, he's not healed. Why? Because you have to learn how to yield to an influence. We are servants of righteousness. We must yield our members to walk righteousness. This one is a conscious, deliberate thing. We are full of the Spirit. We must yield our members to flow in the Spirit. And when it comes to spiritual flow, one of the major parts, I'll say come to the letter, that you must yield is your tongue. But then to yield your tongue to the flow of the Spirit. And so it's not enough to be something. It is enough to yield and to the influence of that thing that you are. And the first step I'm going to talk about in yielding to the Spirit this morning is you must be able to know yourself. The Bible pretty much says, know yourself in the Spirit. Because you notice, look at this verse 18. Being them made free from sin, you became what? So this is what Paul did. Paul showed them who they were. In verse 19, he now says, now yield. Yield to what you are not. And so you must first of all know who you are before you yield to that influence. And so you must know yourself in the Spirit. You know, it's painful, and I believe people like that are not here. But then it's painful sometimes to find out that some believers still think that they don't have the Holy Spirit. They say, now that you are born again, do you have the Holy Spirit? You might have got the Father in you. You might even have got the Son in you. But do you have the Holy Spirit? And so you find out, when such people are praying for God to help them pray in tongues, they think they are bringing in something that does not exist in them, into them. I think right now, Father, please give me your Holy Spirit. Please, what are you waiting for? Give me the Spirit. But actually, that's not true. John chapter 3, verse 6. Because you must first of all realize where you stand before you begin to yield to that influence. When you are yielding to who you are not, you are pretending. For instance, if you are not a girl and you dress like a girl, even put a special bum bum and what have you, you come out with all they think you are a girl, but you are not. That's pretense. And that's what we do with the Spirit. In yielding to the Spirit, you are yielding to who we are. I get the point. An unbeliever can yield to it. We call it fake. You know, he's just pretending. He's acting. Look at John 3, verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is what? How many are born of the Spirit here? What does it mean to be born of the Spirit? Huh? To be born again. How are we sure? Look at the next verse. It's just so clear in that next verse. After just announced it, marvel not that I said unto you what? You must be born again. So once you are born again, you are born of the Spirit. I see point now. You know, born of the Spirit looks like a very big English. Born of something. What are you born of? As a man. Born of your mom. Born of a human being, right? So when he says born of the Spirit, he's describing who gave birth to us. You get the point? Our birthing, we are giving birth to by the Spirit. Hallelujah. When we came into Christ, Bible tells us in Galatians chapter 3, I think that's 4. He said, by the regeneration of the Spirit. Notice, what we are born of the Spirit. So because we are born of the Spirit, what are we? Is it difficult to find this out? When you are born of a human being, what are you? Get the point? When a mango tree gives birth, only give birth to mango fruit. So the question is, we are born of the Spirit, what are we? We are spirit. So you find out that this must be your head. And so there's nothing like now that you are born again, let's now give you Holy Spirit. No. The day you got born again, you were born, the person that birthed you, born again means to be born of the Spirit. It means the Spirit has birthed you, has given birth to you. And so you are spirit by nature. It was Pastor Chris Wright that said, we are not human beings having a spiritual experience. We are spirit beings having human experience once in a while. No, once in a while, human things can put us, but by nature, we are spirit beings. Do you get anything now? It's not like we are human beings and once in a while we now do supernatural things. No. It is that we are spirit beings who once in a while just do human things. Say, I'm a spirit. Come on, say, I'm a spirit. So we are spirit beings. We are not human beings. Okay, let me put it this way. We are more spirit beings than we are human beings. You didn't get that? We are more spirit beings than we are human beings. You must first of all begin to see yourself like, I am a spirit. You say, what? Some say, how can you say you're a spirit? Because I'm born of the Spirit. It's very easy to know. I say it again. We are more spirit beings than we are human beings. And so when it comes to flowing in the Spirit, it's a thing of nature. You must also realize that it's a nature we have. And so when I'm trying to get you to speak in tongues or to prophesy, I say, come out and prophesy. You must be first thing that should be in your head when you're coming out is, I am not coming to do what I'm not used to. I'm coming to do who I am. Did you get what I said this morning? When I say, hey, come and lay hands on that girl to be healed, don't say, hey, Jesus Christ, how can I am not coming to do what I'm not used to. What I am, actually. I mean, I've done it for some time, but I am. I'm that it. You see, that's what we do in China, when we're training children. Oh, give it to them. Why do you sometimes, you know, these mothers, they do it. You can bring maybe a toy, and then you tell the child, come and take. The child, maybe a child that's still crawling, he will now try to stand up, do that, and now start walking. When he falls, you bring him up. You know that actually you're a human being. Human beings should be walking. That's going to guide you to walk. That's what I'm going to do this morning. You get the point? We are trying to get the child to walk. You're not trying to impact a strange ability into him. You are trying to bring up what is at work in him. He's a human being. He should walk. I get the point? He's a thing of nature. When I say come and prophesy, you see, I'm not trying to tell you, say, sir, I don't have the anointing for prophecy. Don't talk like that. Sir, this gift of prophecy thing, I've been praying for it. And I know God has prayed. One day. And that day he'll give it to me. You see, you might wait till death. You see, and so what we do as pastors, as prophets, whatever, is to guide you into it. Get the point? Not to actually put it inside you. Because when you get into Christ, you are born, so you must first of all know who you are. First, you must know yourself in the Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 8. Look at it. Romans chapter 8, verse 8. He says, so then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Look at that. Romans 8, verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot what? Please God. But then look at the next verse, verse 9. He says, but you are not in the flesh. Where are we? So first of all, John 3 tells us we are what? Born of the Spirit. By implication, we are what? Spirits. Romans 8, 9 is telling us what now? That we are in the Spirit. So first of all, I'm born of the Spirit. Secondly, I am a spirit. Thirdly, I am in the Spirit. So I do spirit things. Spirit things are realities to me. Because it's not just because sometimes you think we are estranged from the Spirit. And so we're going to pray and then the Holy Ghost begins to enter us one by one. And I know where that is coming from. The idea that there are some people that have special gifts. Some have a special gift of prophecy, others have a special gift of healing. Well, that is not true. That is not true. I admit that there are some persons I've touched this morning that flow better in some gifts than others, and there can be reasons for that. I don't agree that different believers have different gifts and some believers are lacking in some things. Colossians 2 verse 9 tells us. Put up Colossians 2 verse 9, let me show you. He talked about Jesus. If you understand this verse, it will bless you. For in him, in who? Who is him there? In Jesus dwelleth what? All the fullness of the Godhead. So listen, the fullness of the Godhead is tongues part of it. Is healing part of it? Is prophecy part of it? Where does all this fullness dwell? In Christ. Is that clear? Is that clear? Now verse 10. Verse 10. And you are what? Completing him. So if Jesus has all the fullness of the Godhead, and I am complete in I have the fullness of the Godhead in me. I don't think about that at all. So there's nothing like I have small part, then you have two cups, I have three cups, you have one cup of the anointing. No. We all have been given the fullness of the Spirit. Say I have the fullness of the Spirit. Hallelujah. So you see, we have the fullness. We must realize that this is who you are. So this morning, I will be pushing you. And I will be pushing you to walk into your realm. You get the point? I'll be giving you mic to prophesy, not because I want to make you a prophet, but because I know that resident in you is the gift and the spirit of prophecy. Here's the point. It's a thing about your nature. So John 3 tells us we are born of the Spirit. John 3 tells us we are spirit because we are born of the Spirit. Okay? Romans 8 tells us that we are where? In the Spirit. And now 1 Corinthians 6 will tell us some other thing. Verse 16. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 16. What know ye not that he, okay, which is joined to an harlot, is what? One body. For two said he shall be one flesh. Verse 19. But he that, okay, 17, before we go to 19. But he that is joined unto the Lord is what? So how many of us are joined to the Lord here? So are we one spirit with God? So you notice, it's not, I want to understand one spirit. This one here, the word there talks about same spirit with God. And so we are same spirit with God. You get the point? We have the same spirit. We are one spirit with Him. So you must understand where you stand when it comes to spiritual things. Look at verse 19. Let's just keep verse 19. 19. What know ye not that your body is what? Come on, your body is what? Temple of the Holy Ghost, which is where? So, I am the temple of the Holy Ghost. Amen. You know what is temple? God lives in me. God lives in me. Do you know God is in this building now? Why? Because I'm here. Hallelujah. That's how to think. And that's the truth. God is in my room. Because I'm there. You know, when I was in school, I used to have this room. We prayed so much in that room that once you step into that room, you want to pray. I'm telling you, whether we are there or not. You know, but you can pray. You say, ah, why is it like that? I'm there. This is my room. I get the point. I carry God. I carry so much of God that when you find God in a building, it's because I'm there. I get the point. It's because I brought God there. You see, they attempted, they've been attempting to get a place for God. First of all, they made an ark. You get the point? They made an ark and began to carry it and say, wow, this is God. God is inside this place. And when they Uzzah touched that ark and died. Because God is inside that box. Hallelujah. What a God. What a God inside a box. So they've been carrying that up and down as a symbol. Later they made a tabernacle and say God is, they now built somewhere they call Holy of Holies. They say God is inside that place. And whenever the priest wants to enter, they have to be careful to get into that place. That's not attention. So Solomon came up once and said, well, I will show you guys. You guys made ark, you guys made tabernacle, I will build a temple. David first of all said he will build it. God said, no, don't worry, let Solomon do it. No, not let Solomon. Let me not miss my words. He didn't mention Solomon. He said, don't build me a temple. Say, your hand is stained with blood. What is telling David? You cannot build a temple for me. A song from your loins will be that temple. He said, that son, his kingdom and his throne shall be forever. David would have known that that's not Solomon. You hear me? And David told Solomon to build a temple. And Solomon built a temple, and 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it was an awesome time. They prayed, you know, the presence of God came, that the priest ran away from the temple that they built. You see, they wanted to, everybody has wanted to bring a place. Let's spot God. Let's spot God. Where is he? Let's keep him in a place. We can come see him, and I want to see him. It's been like that. And then Jesus came and now announced, tear down this temple. And in 3 days, they said, okay, but, take it easy. It took us 46 years to erect this God's house. The Bible tells us they thought he was talking about a temple. They didn't know he was talking about a temple of his body. And they killed him. After 3 days, he rose again. Hallelujah. And Stephen now came to Acts chapter 7. And announced and said, the Almighty does not live in temples made with hands. They stoned him to death. No, they couldn't take it. But he said, the Almighty, in other words, are you saying everything we build? He said he does not live in temples made with hands. Paul now got to this verse and said, you are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And so everything they'll be trying to keep God in a box. God said, no, I won't live in a box, I will live in a body. And he lives in me now. Say the Holy lives in me. Say the fullness of the Godhead lives in me. It's an awesome thing to know. And so when we are talking about praying in the Spirit, you must find out where we are coming from. It's not about what we are not that we are trying to do. And so when I tell you that by now, your confidence towards spiritual things should have started growing. You see, let me say this to you. I will say this at the end, but let me just say it now. This is why if I go to pray for a dead person and I finish praying and the person does not rise. When I see another dead person, I will go and pray for the person. Why? Because I will not leave the other place saying, I don't have the ability to raise the dead. I know that this is my ability. For whatever reason, the other one did not work. I get the point. For whatever reason, but there is one constant thing that the Holy Ghost lives in me. That the power of God is at work in me. That Jesus lives in me. That I am full of the Spirit. That I am born of the Spirit. That I am Spirit. And I am in the Spirit now. That one is constant. You see, that's why you couldn't hear this church. People say, maybe the choir just comes up and they say, everybody just be in the Spirit. How was that? Or be in the mood of worship. We are in the mood of worship. And so it's our nature. We are supernatural people. I get the point. We are supernatural people. You see, you must come to a point to realize that to the believer, the supernatural is natural to him. Our natural realm, natural realm of the supernatural. That's who I am. That's who I am. That's the first thing you must know. So, first of all, I said, to yield your members to the Spirit, you must realize what you are. Because it's when you know that you're a servant of righteousness that you can begin to yield your members. So when we are yielding our members, we are not pretending. I know what I'm talking about. We are not pretending. We are doing what we are. So first of all, know who you are. The second thing I'm going to talk about yielding to the Spirit is in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 31. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31. We must always touch this scripture whenever we come to talk about things of the Spirit. What does he say? He said, but what? Convert earnestly the best gifts. Now, I've explained to us, wait, before we get to this verse, go to verse 7. Let me try from the point I made initially about we having the fullness of the Spirit. He said, but, now, notice, because some people have said things like, yes, you have the fullness of God, but everybody does not have the flow of it. No, the Bible says the manifestation of the Spirit is given to how many people? So, all of us, every man, we do not just have the Spirit, we have the expression, the exhibition, we have the expression of that Spirit. Not just that we have Him, we can manifest Him. What led me to that? Well, when I get to verse 31, verse 31 now says, convert the best gifts. You know, what verse 31 is saying is not convert to possess the best gifts. Because we read to us in verse 7, that manifestation is given to how many of us? Every of us, right? So when he says convert the best gifts, he wouldn't be saying convert to possess what has been given to you, no? He'll be saying convert to what? Manifest or to flow in it. And that word convert in that verse is the Greek word zelo. Z-E-L-O-O. It actually just like God comes, it means to be zealous. To be zealous. And so, what second thing I'm going to talk about, you know, leading your members to the Spirit, is that you must come to the point where you are zealous after spiritual things. And this is where I'm going to talk and caution so many of us. I believe people like that are not here, but you have to be cautioned if you're like that. Especially among the world folks or the new creation people, we just get so much about world, and there is no passion to express or to manifest spiritual things. You see, one of the things that helped me as a believer when I was growing up, and still helps me till today, is that I am so crazy about spiritual things. You see, I am that believer, I don't know about you, that wants to do everything Jesus did and more. I want to multiply food, I've multiplied it. I want to walk on water, I want to do everything Jesus did. Hallelujah. I'm not. Yes, I know the word, I want to do all of them. Is he or do he? The Bible says, be zealous towards spiritual things. Be zealous. And by the way, you see, I said it on Friday, about this whole pastor with the fake miracle, you know, the whole fake miracle stuff. You saw some of those videos. You saw it, right? Praise God. Now, and if you've not seen it, don't bother. Just leave it. But then let me say this to you. Such things exist. People fake things. Hallelujah. People fake things. But you see, if you are so loud about people faking things, and you've not been loud about people doing the real thing, you get the point? Then I believe you are misplaced your priority. Don't fake miracles. That's what led me to that. That's it. Don't fake it. Why are you faking what you have? You get the point? Why are you faking what you have? Don't fake it. What is the point? You realize that we are so, because some of those guys that do this, it's because you realize we are so full of this thing. We don't need to act it. We're not acting drama. It's who we are. We don't need to act it to show it. It is in us. It lives in us. You see, so what you have to do, and what led me to that also is to say that the fact that there are fake miracles and fake prophecies and fake men of God and fake visions and fake everything does not mean that there is no real. And should not stop you from converting the real. Now, I'm sharing this because I've said this before. I had an experience when I was growing up as a believer. I grew up as a believer, you know, being very passionate and crazy about spiritual things. And then I met some set of prophets who messed up everything about the prophetic for me. Everything, they messed it up. These people, they were both arranging. Some of the prophets were real, though. Some were real, some were arranged. Some were money-making ventures. A lot of crazy things. They didn't know anything. They cannot go John 3:16. Just go on the stage and just stand. Open their Bible. Come on, your neighbor. I forgive you. And that was it. We'll be running that. I got so and I don't like fake things. I said, one invited me and told me, you see, I like how you like the word of God. So we are going to work together in the ministry. You'll be teaching the word. You just come and preach. I will now come and prophesy. Now, I didn't even think too far. I was even considering it at first. You know, when he now told me, what are you thinking about? Don't money will not be a problem. We'll share it very well. That's how I backed out. So it was just about it. So everything about the prophetic was messed up for me. Now, we had a case. Then people are shouting, but see, thinking back now, one stop just came up and said, they're pursuing you now. This will happen live before my face. Said, they're pursuing you now. In fact, as I'm talking to you now, the people that killed your wife want to kill you. As I'm talking to you now, they are in the native doctor's house right now, trying to kill you. Go and put on your phone. They will call you on phone right now. And my wife and put on his phone, and somebody called him. And I said, I'm going to kill you. I'm in the doctor's house now, trying to kill you. And people are shouting. You know, I say, if people tell you, they just kill you. And people are shouting. But you know what I'm telling you? Our crusade doubled the next day. If you see crowd everywhere. And he now said, what do people want? Do we kill him? Do we kill that man? Or do we live him alive? Everybody shouted, kill him! And he said, in the name of Jesus, we kill him. We were not praying. And then, of course, you know, the guy now called back. I was now shouting and saying, hey, stop praying. Stop whatever you're doing. Fire is burning me. I said, is this Hollywood? And we're not thinking straight. Of course I was. Maybe only me. But you know, in that kind of environment, you don't need to talk to someone before they say, I'm a man of God, so you look like you are jealous because it's happening in your ministry. It's like, no, the Bible says, he made it, kept all these things in your heart. I just kept quiet. But this is damaged everything about the prophetic for me. But you see, later God started helping me, and I pray God helps you if you are like that here. I hear a lot of things about the spirit, and they've been messed up around you, and you don't care about them anymore. Don't be like that. The fact that there is fake means there is real somewhere. There is no fake 2,000 naira notes anywhere, because there is no real 2,000 naira notes. You get the point now? Anything, there are two things I normally say about fake things. If there is fake, it means there is real. Number two, if there is fake, it means that thing is valuable. Have you seen fake 5 naira? You won't see fake 10 naira. You might not even see fake 50 naira, but you see fake 1,000 naira note everywhere because it is valuable. It is because it's not the thing of the spiritual things are quite very valuable. That's why they're faking it all over the place. But you see, we will not allow the fake exist and not do the real. I know I'm talking about at all. So you must convert and desire to flow in spiritual things. When you see desire to heal the sick, desire to multiply bread, desire to prophesy, desire to even become forensic about your prophecies. I don't think desire is not a sin. Well, Jesus like that, plenty times you see it in the Bible. You see, Nathaniel came, he said, did I not see you under the tree? You get the point? He was like that. He looked at that woman and said, you've had five husbands. Even the one you have now is not your husband. You get, but that's prophecy. I mean, that's word of knowledge, right? Clear word of knowledge. Elisha said to Gehazi, did not my spirit go with you? No, that's. I was going to collect that man from that man. I was going with you. So you see, we can be here and be there. Amen. We can be here and be there. And I want to steer that desire in you. You see, I have not seen everything about the supernatural, but I tell you, before I leave this earth, I will see all of them. The kind of things you could do are the things you cannot write on paper, because when you write it, they will doubt it. You get the point? Desire to do them. You see, the fact that these things are going wrong does not mean there is no way. When the disciples of Jesus wanted to cast out that demon, they couldn't cast it out. They kept there and said, Lord, why couldn't we cast it out? There was a desire in their heart. Get the point? Tell us why. Always seek to do supernatural. Whether you've seen the fake all over the place, whether you've seen people mess up, you see, this morning we're going to prophesy. And I've seen fake prophets all over the place. You see, I've seen fake prophecies. I've seen somebody use prophecy to fight his enemy in church. We are just praying. And the guy jumped up, fell down, first scattering the seeds, and started giving prophecies against his neighbor. Calculated prophecies. I'm telling you, I've seen plenty of things in this world. In fact, there was one that was done in my favor. I knew it was fake. In those days, we had one prayer team that were running. See, I told you guys that. On Friday, I told you guys, anything that has no order, that has no leadership, will not go far. We had one prayer team, but we even had crowd. So one of those days, I used to preach in those, I was a prayer leader. So one of those days, some people in prayer team, I said, no, why should it be only you that will be preaching? But they didn't want to say, they couldn't say it this way, because it looked like they're looking for pulpit. So they now say that they think that what we should be doing in this prayer team is that before the prayer, before the vigil, we should ask the Lord who we preach. And as a childish person then, I agreed, let's ask the Lord. Moreover, almost everybody in that prayer team liked me very well. They want me to always be preaching. Okay, I think Dara was in that prayer. She would know what I'm talking about. You know, they wanted me to always be preaching then. And so, literally, they that came to the prayer meeting before the vigil. Then I said, Father, speak to us. Who will preach? One girl, she just jumped up. Boom! Scatter it. I said, the preacher is Bro Henry. He should preach again. I laughed when I was sitting there. I bent down. I was not supposed to preach that night. Why? Because I had the exam the next morning by 7 a.m. So there was no point. But you see, so I've seen all these things, but you see, I still believe in the prophecy. Can I get the point? This is our, but you know me, I let her call the girl. I said, why? She said, fine. I said, that you did that night. Tell me the truth. She now said, they want to scatter a prayer team for us. So I said, this will not kill me. So we've seen things, amen. But then let me tell you guys. Amen. She gave them what? Amen. That's what they wanted. But what I'm trying to tell you is, all these things will not still make me know. You see, that God, that is what we call inspired utterance. It exists. Second point. It exists. So you must desire it. So we say, I desire the supernatural. Safety, I will flow in the spirit. So be that person that desires. You notice one thing about the Corinthian church was they were very desirous for the supernatural. In fact, in verse 12, I think that's 1 Corinthians 14, I think verse 12. Paul told them, Paul began, because 1 Corinthians 14 was now written to address their desire and put some things in order. In verse 12, he said, even so ye. For as much as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, he now began to tell them, see where you have to seek to excel. But they were zealous. That's my important thing. So see, if you're in this church, be very zealous to do spiritual things. You see, when you're watching me do something, be zealous. I'm going to come to that shortly. Be zealous about it. You see, desire to do everything. I'm not saying you should be a pastor. Desire to do everything. Try to heal the sick, raise the dead. How many people want to raise the dead before we die? You want to raise the dead before you leave this earth? You don't want to. Want to count them. Plenty of them. Hallelujah. I desire the supernatural. I desire it very much. And you should. Whether you try to find it, desire to do it more. I'm passionate about it. That's why you must not be a person that just come to church to warm the seat and listen to the message and go home. I want to do spirituality now. Heal the sick. I want to raise the dead. I want to prophesy. I want to call people's name. I want to call their phone number. I want to do all of them. And I've done all of them, and I keep doing them. You get me? Just that, you know, when you become a pastor, I want to make your church become better. You know, sometimes in church, you must not always be, you must not build your church on spiritual gifts. You build them on the word. I didn't start ministry teaching. I told you, right? I started ministry doing power things. And that's how I grew up. And just now, we have to slow down to teach. You get the point? We're now teachers. It was not like that. So even till now, we desire everything. I've given my handkerchief. That's what I want is normal. Things that just can't touch the person. I'll tell you, somebody is down. Go up and tell the person. Pastor, I'll say, be healed. Stand up. Person, be healed. I've been crazy with it. I've been stupid with it. I've been mad. I've been everything with it. I've been sensible. I've been mad. I've been foolish. I'm not apologetic about it. You get it? I desire the supernatural. When we started training ourselves in word of knowledge, if we're walking on, if I enter the bus, I'll just say, okay, I'm going to know something about these people by my side, and I'm going to tell them. I was that. I have strong desire for the supernatural. And let me say this to you. Anything you do not mind, you will not have. If you don't mind, my own is the word, you will never have it. You will have it, you will never flow in it, because you already have it. So you should care about the supernatural. You should decide, it should sweet you. I love the supernatural. Then the third thing I'm going to say in the healing of the spirit, the influence of the spirit, is that you must dare to flow. Dare to flow. What I mean is dare to flow. I mean start flowing. Many people just desire in their mind. When they see men of God, they say, Kai. And that's the only thing they do. They've never attempted to do it. This morning will be your morning of attempts. Amen. You are going to attempt it. Don't just desire, one day, I'll pray in tongues. It's not the one day has come. You get the point? Dare to start. Sometimes, the difference between where you are and where you need to be is the next step that you're supposed to take. You know this, Jesus told them, Joshua told them, when you carry the ark, the Jordan will not divide until you step into Jordan. So the Jordan will still be Jordan, but when you step into it in faith, it will divide. Some of you think that when you have the gift of healing, you will know your hand will be healed. You will not carry it and put it on somebody. It's not true. There will be no strange feeling on your body. You get what I mean? Someone say, but that's the thing about tongues. Many of you don't pray in tongues because you've not started praying in tongues. You're waiting for, it's all over me. It's moving me around. You want a moving around. It's spinning. Then, tongue on fire. No! You must know that these are the things you have to dare to do them. You have to dare. That's why I'm going to make you dare this morning. You get the point? I'm going to make you come out and prophesy. You must start. Dare to do them. In fact, there's something I'm supposed to say at the end, but let me just bring it up now. Because you must, one thing that will help you yield to the influence of the Spirit is, let me put it that way. Follow good influences. You know, I want to be a copycat. Well, let me just put it this way. Follow good influence and flow in the Spirit. What I mean is, when you are a believer, when whatever you see another believer do that is supernatural, one thing should be in your head. What's the first thing? I can do it. Second thing, I will do it. Third thing, I do it. You get the point? Because you say, Pastor, can we copy people? We can't copy people. That does not mean we begin to copy their tongues. Hope you know. You know, we don't copy tongues. Please don't do it. But then you also realize, if you don't understand this, I'm going to say, just leave it. You also realize that over a certain assembly, their tongues most times sound similar. Have you heard that? They are not copying it. It's not copying. The reason I'm telling you, but not today. Not today. But then, follow good influence. When you see a believer, bring out the two short legs and say, tell the other leg, come out, and he pulls out. Do it. Do it. So can we copy? We can copy. In fact, the Bible calls us copycats. The Bible says we are imitators of God. In fact, 1 Corinthians 4:16. That word, follow, okay, well, let me just 4:16. Therefore, I beseech you, be ye what? Followers of me. Who was talking? God. Who? Paul, a man, said that you follow him. That word followers is the Greek word mimetes. It means an imitator. An imitator. You know what you see me to imitate me. Okay, that's a look at chapter 11, verse 1. Chapter 11, verse 1 of 1 Corinthians. He said, be followers of me, even as I am of Christ. So you notice, when you see me, you know, does Christ heal the sick? Yes. So when you see your pastor heal the sick, be an imitator of that thing he did. That's why if you're in church, your eyes should be open. You are not just learning by what we teach. You should also learn by what is done. Are you getting me here? Are you talking about? So as you begin to dare to do, follow examples, follow influences. We've been in church here now a couple of times, and then I'll have a word in tongues, and I'll get another pastor to come and interpret it. You've seen it happen here, right? Now, when you see those things, be an imitator, a copier. Let me tell you how I started doing, how I first did this thing I told you now. How I started interpreting people's tongues. You know the person I watched do it? Brother Hagin. I saw Brother Hagin. I've told you this story, right? Brother Hagin, and then they saw Pastor Hagin. Brother Hagin, Pastor Hagin. Brother Hagin is the father. Pastor Hagin is the son. So they were in a meeting in South Africa with Foretta. Foretta is the wife. A meeting in South Africa, and Brother Hagin, you know, awesome meeting. They were just there, and then he called, said he wanted to pray for people that were in full-time ministry. That were in ministry. So people came out. Plenty of people came out. You know, and Brother Hagin just collected the mic. And called Pastor Hagin, and he came up, and he just said, Ophrian, Cleon, Fratons, Shafrian, Dako, you know that? Just talk, and gave him mic, and Pastor Hagin said, well, what he's trying to say is that some of you standing here are not actually in full-time ministry, are not pastors of churches. He said, go back, because what he wants to pray, the anointing he wants to pray for them for is about full-time and all that. So some went back. He gave him back the mic. He continued. Along the line, that same meeting, wanted to pray for a woman, laid hands on the woman, held hands on the woman, and then started again. Shokian, Preto, Glebro, Gedo, and gave you the mic again. He said, okay, what she's trying to say. I said, wow. What a meeting. I told myself, see, this is mine. So I shared with one of my friends, and we're praying. I said, we're going to do this thing. You see, we're in the room. So that when we fall hand, nobody will see us. Hi, everyone. Let me tell you something. I'm an imitator of supernatural things. If I see you do it, I will do it. Everyone. So this morning, when that person by your side begins to pray in tongues, if you don't know how to do it, because that's why we convert the laying on of hands to. You can say, sir, this thing is in me, I know. But even if this laying hands on me, let it show. You get the point? So then, when you see the cripple walk, I told you, almost everything I've done supernaturally today, I copied it. What I mean copied is, I saw men do it. The only thing I've done, if I see you do it, I will do it. I'm telling you, if I just see you do it, I will do it. Because doing it assures me that this is in me and it's in Christ. I get the point. So we imitate it. So I'm not that kind of person, because I've talked about desire, but I'm not that kind of person that is caught up in a place just desiring. I've seen people, the only thing they do is desire. Say, man, see power. And that's the thing they do. I don't just desire. I dare to do. I copy what you do. What they say is mine. Come on, let me say it's mine. So when I see you do it, I'm going to do it. When I see you prophesy, I collect the mic and say, "Leko, preko, leko, shada." I'm going to collect the mic. I don't know what I'm going to say, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to do it. And that's why, you know, I feel bad for some people. You know, some people, you attend churches, you know, churches where their pastor is a prophet. You see that kind of thing? It's a prophet, calls names, calls phone number, that's the only thing they do. And I told one of them, I said, well, it's a bad thing that they don't teach in your church. Very long. But at least, this one they do. Copy it now. I'm going to say, there's a bad thing that even your church people don't know Bible, but at least, let it be one thing you gained. At least, when they say, I am a member, I gain something. And there's a problem with some of those congregations that when they begin to see it, they believe there is a special grace. Yes, there's a special grace on the man of God. But you know what that grace is? That grace is the ability to do that thing and to impact others with it. That's a special grace. Get it? To impact. You know also because I'm under that special grace, I should be able to do it. Hallelujah. Do it too. Hallelujah. Desire to do it. And when after desiring, death to it, take the next step. Paul said, be in Ephesians 5 verse 1. He used that same word, mimetes again, which means an imitator, a copycat of me. He said, be therefore followers of God. Okay, now he now talks of God as dear children. So you see, three times he said, be followers of me. Here he now says, be followers of who? No, first time he said, be followers of me. Second time he said, be followers of me as I follow Christ. Third, he now says, be what? Followers of God. He's talking about the same thing. That doesn't mean that when you see your pastor have a failed marriage, you say, ah, I was divorced. Okay. Where pastor divorce? Divorce is ours in Christ. No. He said, be followers of me as I follow Christ. So once this thing is in what Christ has done on the cross and the abilities he has given us, if you do it, I will do it. I'm not trying to compete with you. I'm learning. You know that's how, oh, I like this story. You know this story that I heard from Evangelist Bunkyo first. He said, you know, it's fictional. He talks about a baby eagle. A farmer went into the bush and saw an egg, the egg of an eagle, and took it and brought it back and kept it with his chicken. And the chicken hatched the egg, and then the eagle was born. So the eagle grew with every other chicken in that place. It could not, you know, it was just living like a chicken. It was obviously bigger than all of them, but it would still use its leg to, you know, chicken. It was still just behaving chicken. Yes. Was living chickenly. The only leg height it could fly was the height that chickens could fly. Because every influence around it was chicken. Until one day, he was just out there. And then he saw the mother eagle up there, flying so high. He said, for the first time in the life of that eagle, it's there to raise its wings. And he rose it and kept flying, looking at that mother eagle. That's what to do with his spiritual thing. I get the point. You've lived all your life in the world. You've never prophesied. You've never spoken in tongues. You've never healed the sick. But the one you know, you come to church, you just see us do these things. Let's begin to pull you to do this same thing. Dare to raise your wings. You can fly. I get the point. As you watch us fly too. Be a copycat. Be an imitator of supernatural things. And let me just say two more things. One of the things that will help you again is, as we begin to do this, maybe it is very important, be giving to utterance very much. When I mean it, be giving to tongues, pray in tongues a lot. That tells us that when we're praying in tongues, we are building up ourselves. Someone say, you are talking about praying in tongues. I've never started praying in tongues. I said we should do it a lot. When you start, that as you start this morning, pray in the Holy Ghost a lot. You know, utterance is one of the best, I'll say, of the gifts of the Spirit. Not because one is bigger than the other, but because of the role it plays. Do you want that? Do you know that in the Bible, the only group of spiritual gifts that was taught extensively is utterance? Hope you know. You will never find any place where the Bible taught on word of knowledge or word of wisdom. You will see it happen. It's not taught. You get the point? Do you know that then the next thing that looks like it was taught a little was even power gifts? When Jesus said, if you are sitting to this mountain. You get the point? But then the whole of 1 Corinthians 12, 13 was used to teach utterance gifts. Why? Because when you begin to pray in tongues a lot, you see how this supernatural thing works. It starts with utterance. Basically tongues. Oh, maybe I want to heal the sick. Maybe I've been praying in tongues at home. That tongues at home, or even those I'm praying there, will lead to interpretation of prophecy, which will heal the person. I will just be praying, Shake Loko Prakata, and I look at that person and say, the name of Jesus, thou sickness, you are cast out. That's the statement I made. It's prophecy. I get the point. I declare God's word, God's verdict on the matter. And so when you begin to pray in tongues a lot, you see, you notice you're training your heart. You're training your heart, and you begin to get more and more and more expression in you. So forgiving to much utterance. Let me tell you, that's why you see, you notice the secret of Paul. Paul told them, I thank my God that I do what? I pray in tongues more than 1 Corinthians 14:18. This is I want to show you. I was reading it this morning and I was like, wow, what is that? He said, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than you all. Put up Amplify. You see what he means. I love our Paul, and I want you to copy Paul. Remember, we are copycats, right? We are imitators. I thank God that I speak in strange tongues, languages, more than all of you put together. He was not saying that he has the gift more than them. Do you get this now? He's saying, in practice, I do it more than all of you put together. In other words, if we add up all the tongues people have spoken in this church, and that was not a small congregation, it was obviously bigger than us, yeah? But it's more than all of you. I pray in tongues more than all of you. So, your own tongues, my own. Man, whether it's true or false, he tells you what he was trying to say. He's trying to say, my habit is tongues. Get the point? My habit is tongues. That's why he steals everything is tongues. Lagos. You know, this thing, it makes room for every other. Sometimes when I come over a matter, I don't know what to do. Just pacing around in tongues. They invited, was it Reverend George Adeboye, Reverend Peter's spiritual father, to come and pray over a matter. Somebody was sick. And he got into that place and just sat down. He was just murmuring. Everybody was in the parlor waiting for him. He just sat down. He was in. He just quiet. 30 minutes. He didn't say what? 1 hour. He didn't say what? He's on something like crazy. 1 hour, 30 minutes. He was just there. You can imagine. Everybody, they got tired. They stood up. They paced around. They got angry. They sat down. He was just bending down. Shagala. After like 2 hours plus, he just popped up. In the name of, you know that kind of thing. The thing has welled up in his inside. Tongues is powerful. I don't know about you, but this is sweet. You steer the thing so much. It's not a charging battery. Once it does hit 100%, boom! Hallelujah. I give too much utterance. So this morning, what we're doing is that we're going to be praying in tongues. And first of all, we're going to be in groups. We're going to minister to ourselves in groups. You see, you're gonna pray in tongues and words will flow. Some of them will be direction, but I'm not just saying for us, I'm not just teaching that for us to do it here. Make a constant practice of praying in tongues, and when you do it, let's not go advise you to do, maybe this is the last thing I will say, about tongues, about spiritual flow. If you want to be more constant with it, is this. You notice that natural as a believer, there are supernatural things that you find more easy to do. Does that happen to you? There are some that are just more easy. I'm not talking about tongues here. There are some spiritual things. Notice, even when it comes to healing, I normally ask this question. If there is a deaf person here, a dumb person, a blind person, a dead person, a cripple, cancer, typhoid, and I say you should pray, who will you pray for first? You what? Who will you pray for first? Who will pray for first? Deaf person. Who will pray for first? There. Who else? Who will you go for first? Cancer. Who will you go for first? The dead person. What I'm trying to say is, it looks like that is something, that is this case that comes easier with you. For me, it's deaf and dumb. I have never had any failed case of a deaf or a dumb person. But I can guess why, Aisha. I know my time is for mine. I've never had any failed case. Once the person, one ear is not working. One, you know, I watched, recently I was watching a man, you know, he said he was having a meeting. See, let me tell you, friends, see, you see, this is not just because we are doing Holy Ghost meeting. You see, in this Enugu, we will do supernatural things. It's not just about what you do here in church. in your school, in your office, who will do mad things and begin to convert and begin to do them. Once in a while, I'll always talk about meeting to sear your heart. Don't forget that you are still supernatural. Sometimes when things just happen around you, just find yourself crying like a child. What's your problem? Sometimes take yourself. You know, people around you, when I was younger as a believer, I'll be going, walking up and I'll be praying, Father, can't somebody just drop dead beside me? Let me walk in power. I'm telling you. You know, it was a first night of the meeting. He prayed for a deaf person, pressing God well. He said, tomorrow night will be power. And then the next night, somebody that was in that meeting was a teacher in the school of the deaf. He went with a bus. Now, I'm not telling you what I heard. I heard it and I watched the video. He went with a bus. I can give you the link after this meeting. He went with a bus, went to the school of the deaf, and came in with about 14 of them. I came and kept them in the meeting. He said he didn't know. They were just preaching. I was just preaching and said, is there anybody? He said, began to see something in the spirit. Is anybody deaf here? You see? And they interpreted those guys. And he said, about 14, 15 years old. He said, no. I said, and they walked up to him and whispered, all of them. All of them are there. You know, he said, you know, he said the only thing that came to his mind, I'm talking about the pastor. He used to be a pastor with Dominion City. How many people in Dominion City will know Reverend Dubus, right? Uh-huh. He said immediately that happened, he just called himself, said Dubus. You know that kind of thing. I had that kind of experience once. I was bragging with God in a crusade. There is nothing God cannot do. And the next morning. And, you know, we face counseling the next morning. So there were many cases. My people, I was even still sleeping. My people were just praying for them. They now brought in, that was my first case of a deaf and dumb person. They brought in a deaf and dumb person from bed. Well, they brought him in. They came to my room and woke me up, sir. You are the one that said this thing. Come out, face the music. Now, before that, when I got saved, very new as a believer, I had seen, we were in a group, we prayed for a deaf girl. That's the only case I've had. In a group, she didn't get well. And that kept me bothered. That was 2006. Remember that girl? So it kept me bothered for years. I said, why didn't she get well? I was not up to 1 month as a believer. But I was worried, why did this girl not get saved? So I've been praying. So that day, they now brought that case. Deaf, dumb. And I stood there, and you know, it woke me up. Can imagine with everything. I'll just say, what happened? This girl, she doesn't talk, she doesn't hear. And they came because you say the Lord can do everything. And they came from far. You know, and I just came out. You know, God makes things easier for us. And I thank God that was how I got into the miraculous fully, that particular experience. Because when it comes to deaf and dumb, it becomes easier with my. I'm telling you this for a reason. I just came out. Somehow, there was faith rising in my. I knew. So I just came out. I told them, no, let us pray. Just let us sing it. I was singing. That singing was not to heal the sick. I was singing to wake up well from my sleep. You know, friend, I was so very tired. I was just let them be singing. And I was just singing. The Holy Ghost said, ask for her name. And I said, what's her name? They told me. I called her. She answered. I called again. She answered. The place went wild. We didn't pray. And I said, did people say she was deaf and dumb? They said yes. I called her. She answered. I said, how are you? She said, fine. I said, go home. I don't tell her about the crusade that night. Everybody, the whole village came. Everybody. And it's been like that. Because this man, really, he said that night, but the story of the letter I was telling you, all of them got saved. Everybody, all those dead people got healed that night. And I've been in a crusade. One of my sons put up a crusade. We were there. We had about 7 to 8 deaf people one night. 7 to 8. All of them that night got healed. It was not video, but it was recorded when I was praying for them. Hey, are you well now? I was speaking Igbo. In an Hindi, Siwa. No, it was crazy. 7 that night, I was shedding tears. They didn't know why. I was like, this is awesome. And what I'm saying is, when you notice that place where you have that special and that easy flow, just continue doing it. It will train your heart to believe for other things. Again, point. Some of it comes up easy with you with word of knowledge. You can easily just know. Keep knowing. Know further. Press further in knowing. The more they keep saying, yes, it's true. Yes, it's true. Your faith is stretching. I get the point. Your faith is stretching. The more they keep saying, yes, it's true. It's your name. It's yes, it's true. This is, yes, it's true. Something is stretched. Before you know, you will dare to walk into word of wisdom. You get the point? You now begin to see into the future. Gradually, that's just how we, that's how we grow. Are you getting the point? That's how we grow. So this morning we're going to pray in tongues, Lord. I've said a lot of things. Amen. We're going to pray. I just want to stay desire in you. So this morning we're going to flow basically in utterance and revelation gifts. Look for a possible power case that we're going to do here. I think one of the things we might have to do will be to stretch a person's leg and push it back. And I'll have some of you do it this morning. Are you getting me? I got to say, because let me tell you something. This is not that it's not story. Are you getting me? We are not telling Bible. It's not children Bible classes. This is our reality. Are you getting the point? This is where we are spirit men. Are you getting me? So after this morning, you're going to start looking for crazy things to do. I'm a supernatural being. So we're going to start with utterance this morning. And we're going to hold our hands together at first. And then you hold our hands together. If someone is around you, or if you're here in tongues, and you leave this room without praying in tongues, you know, it doesn't happen. It shouldn't happen. And I'm not saying I'm going to come lay hands on you. Remember I said follow influences. As that person is going to pray in tongues, just hold his hands. We're going to hold our hands. What will happen, I will tell you, something will begin to rise from your inside. Do you know why? The thing is already there. You'll be keeping it down. It will begin to rise. It's just be rising like that. Something has told you that once you do it now, you've seen that against the Holy Ghost, you go to hell. No. Not here. So there are tons of demons. No demon can exist here. I'm here. There is no demon here. Take the point. If you're a witch, let me see your hand. If you're a witch, no witch can be here. No, demon can be here. Oh, let me tell you, you will get crazy. You know, I went to a village for a crusade and I announced, please, tonight I will not be praying before I go to bed. If you wish, come and attack me tonight. Now it is around the whole village that there is this man of God in town, he will not pray tonight before sleeping. If you wish, my door is open. Come and strangle me to death. Let me tell you something. Something's going to happen to us again. You need to know we are supernatural men. So I'm going to steer it in you. So what we do when I say come and prophesy, it's not just prophesy and go, you will prophesy. As you leave this place, you begin to do more and more things. You can start practicing as you start praying. Look at the point in your body and say, hey, begin to go down now. As pastor is talking, I'm telling you, this boy begin to go down. As he's talking, start going down. And it will deplete before you. Before you. Begin to practice the supernatural. I'm a being of the supernatural. That's the only thing I am. I am more spiritual than I am physical. Woo! And so, Berekaleya. Paul said, I pray in tongues more than you all. And so, we're going to be men giving to tongues. Oh, I like what you guys are doing. There's something, you guys are pulling stuff in this place. Let us pray the Holy Ghost wherever you are. Shigala Tatapasote. Whoosh. We are spiritual men. See, let me tell you, this is your morning. If you've never had this experience with spirituality, this is your morning. This is your morning.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.